Good morning, Rabbi Sai. We have arrived at Simon Tov Kuf Ayin Tes Seif Beis, and we are looking at the Seder HaTfilah, which is to be done, which is to be followed on the fast days for the rain. So says the Shulchan Aruch, Seder HaTfilah, the order of the Tfilah, the Sheish Brachas, and the six Brachas which are added into the Tfilah, Esrei Shu Moisif, which one adds, Utekiyos Shu Tekea, and the blowings of the Shofar, which are blown, Mavur Yofer B'Tor B'Simon Zeh, are explained well in the Torah in this Simon. I'll just summarize very briefly. The Torah summarizes a entire lengthy Seder HaTfilah, which basically includes an enhanced Psukei Dezimra with extra Mizmorim added. Into Chazar Sashat, we have many additions, Slichos, which are added into the Bracha of Slach Lanu. After Re'eva Onyenu, we have the Anenu, like we say on Ta'aniyos, but a bit of a lengthened version. And after that, there are six special brachas which are added. And in between each bracha, there's a recitation of the Yud Gimel Midas and blowing of the Shofar. And then in Shema Tefillah, there's also an additional prayer added, which is Va'anenu Bari Olam Bevidus HaRachamim. That's a prayer that we're a little bit familiar with here in Eretz Yisrael. We sometimes say it in times where we need rain. That this is where the tefillah comes from. And after the Shmoneh Esrei, there's more slichas and there's Kriyas HaTorah, where they read from the Parshas Bechukosai up until the end of the entire section of the Teuchacha. So it's quite a lengthy Seder tefillah, and it takes up most of the morning. And that's why we learned earlier in the previous simon that Once the tefillah is over, then the Beis Din are meant to sit and inspect the deeds of the town for the rest of the morning, whatever time is left up until Chatzos. Seifkim, Sheva Ta'aniyos Ha'el, these seven fasts, Achashim Ispalalim, after the Tzibur have davened, Yotzim Kol Ha'om, the entire Tzibur go out, LeBeis HaKvaros, to the Beis HaKvaros. The wording is specifically that the people go out, but the teva containing the Sefer Torah, which we spoke about previously in the previous simon, where the teva which has got the Sefer Torah in it is brought out to the town square, that is not taken to the Beis HaKvaros, it's considered a bizoyim. So they are left behind. The people go to the Beis HaKvaros, uboichim umischan nimsham, and we cry and daven there. Koloima, meaning to say, what's the symbolism of going out to the Beis HaKvaros? Hare atem meisim ka'elu. Chas v'shalom, you might be dying like these people. Im lo tashuvu midarkechem, if you don't do tshuva and mend your ways. Ulefi zeh, says the Rama, following this logic, im ein kivrei Yisrael, if there are no kivrei Yisrael to go to, let's say there is no Jewish Beis HaKvaros in the vicinity, but there is a non-Jewish Beis HaKvaros, holchim al yad kivrei kusim, then one could even go to non-Jewish Beis HaKvaros. The Mishnah Berurah points out that there is a second reason mentioned in the Gemara as to why we go to the Beis HaKvaros, which is that it awakens the Meisim who are in Shamayim, the neshamas of those people, to ask for Rachamim for us. And following that reasoning, it would seem logical that one does not go to a non-Jewish Beis HaKvaros, only to a Jewish one. And most certainly concludes the Mishnah Berurah that if in the non-Jewish Beis HaKvaros there are symbols of the non-Jewish religion, then it is not proper to daven there, and these prayers should take place only in a Jewish Beis HaKvaros. Okay, we're beginning a new Simon Tov Kuf Pei, which has the title Yomim Shemis Anim Bohem, the days on which one fasts. And we're going to see over here a list of days where there is a minhag to fast, where perhaps Chassidim V'Anshei Maisa fast, where there's an Inyan to fast, even though it's not obligatory, but it is considered praiseworthy and recommended. Elu Hayomim, says the Shulchan Aruch, these are the days, She'iru Bohem Tzoris Laviseinu, which various different hardships befell our forefathers, V'roi Lehis Anois Bohem, and it is proper to fast on these days. The Mishnah Berurah brings up a little bit of a difficulty, because we're going to see that some of the days which are going to be listed in the next Seif fall on Rosh Chodesh, one of them falls on Hanukkah, days when it doesn't seem suitable to fast. And because of that, the Beis Yosef says that some people don't fast these fasts, they question the source and the authenticity of them, and certainly whether the people who ever instituted them had the right to institute fasts on Rosh Chodesh and on Chanukah. But nevertheless, there are other opinions who say that in fact these fasts do have a very early source, and they might even have already been instituted in the times of the Chachmei HaGemara. And therefore, one is in fact permitted to fast these fasts even on Rosh Chodesh, etc. Nevertheless, having said that, Mishnah Berurah adds that if we have somebody who does not usually fast these fasts, and he has some sort of private tzara, some particular hardship for which he wishes to fast, and let's say it's on one of these days, and it's Rosh Chodesh. Let's say Rosh Chodesh Nisan, we're going to see, is one of the days. So he says, well, anyway, some people fast on Rosh Chodesh, so I'm not fasting for because of these fasts that are listed here. I'm fasting for my own fast. So I'd still like to fast on Rosh Chodesh, says the Mishmur. No, you cannot do that. That's forbidden. You can only fast this fast on Rosh Chodesh if you are fasting it, because it is one of the fasts listed over here. Otherwise, we have no right to fast on Rosh Chodesh. One final point Mishnah Berurah adds here, another day which is not listed in the next Sif, is when there is an eclipse of the moon. It's considered to be a bad siman, and some sources say that it is appropriate to fast and awaken oneself to tshuva at that time because it's considered a bad siman for the world. Coming back to the actual wording of the Shulchan Aruch, we said, even though some of these days end out on Rosh Chodesh, there are some who say that one should still fast. The Ramah concludes with a sort of compromise, not to complete the fast on Rosh Chodesh. So perhaps you'll fast until after Mincha time, but you won't fast the entire day. Okay, what are these fasts? On the first of Nisan, the children, sons of Aaron died, and therefore there's a reason to fast. On the 10th of Nisan, Miriam Hanavir died, Venistalik HaBe'er, and the Be'er which the Jewish people had in the Midbar, in her Zchus, also went away. Ve'esrim Veshishaboy, on the 26th of Nisan, Meis Yehoshua Ben-Nun died, and these fasts are in fact mentioned in a number of different early sources, and a lot of the sources differ in the exact days. So we're going to see as we go through this Shulchan Aruch that there are different Girsois, which the Mishnah Berurah mentions, and over here this is one of them. The Shulchan Aruch says the 26th, but others say it was the 28th. Moving on, Ba'asara Be'ir, on the 10th of Iyar, Meis Eli HaKoyen Ushnei Bonov, Eli HaKoyen and his two sons died. His sons were killed in battle, and Eli HaKoyen died when he heard the news. V'nishba Oren Hashem, and the Oren Hashem was captured by the Pelishtim. Ba'asara Ushmoine Boy, on the 28th of Iyar, Meis Shmuel Hanavi died, and some say it was the 29th. Ba'asara Ushloisha B'Sivan, on the 23rd of Sivan, Batlu HaBikurim, Milalis Lirushalayim, Bimei Yerovam Ben Nevat. The wicked king Yerovam Ben Nevat stopped the Jewish people in his part of the kingdom from going up to Jerusalem to bring the Bikurim. Be'esrim v'chamishaboy, on the 25th of Sivan, Nerag Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Hanina Sgan HaKoyanim. The Tanoim, the great Tzadikim, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Hanina Sgan HaKoyanim, were killed by the Romans. Be'esrim v'shivaboy, on the 27th of Sivan, Nisraf Rabbi Hanina ben Taradin, Rabbi Hanina ben Taradin was burned for Sefer Torah Imeh along with the Sefer Torah. Be'echod ba'av, on the 1st of Av, Meis Aaron HaKoyen died. It's recorded openly in the Torah. Bishmona Osoboy, on the 18th of Av, and some say the 17th, Kavon Neir Ma'arovi B'mei Achaz, the Neir Ma'arovi went out in the days of the wicked king Achaz. Bishiva Osoboy Elul, on the 17th of Elul, Meisu Moitzieh Dibas Ha'aretz, the Meraglim who spoke bad about Eretz Yisrael died. Now I'd just like to speak about this for a second. What is so bad about the Meraglim dying? On the contrary, it would seem to be perhaps reason, you know, for Simcha, when a Kodesh Baruch Hu punishes the Rishayim, the Pasuk does say, but avoid Rishayim Rino. So the Mishnah Berurah explains to us over here that actually the Meraglim did Teshuvah, but their Teshuvah was not accepted. So what exactly does that mean? That shows us how serious Avera is and how hard it can be sometimes to actually do Teshuvah and go back. But even though these people were initially great people and they did wrong, and they tried to do tshuva, but Hashem didn't accept their tshuva, and that is a reason for us to fast. Can't resist sharing with you that this point actually is a is a central part of a tshuva in which Rav Moshe Feinstein discusses whether one may join people who are not Shomer Torah mitzvahs as part of a minyan. Can they be joined to a minyan, yes or no? And Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about it, and a central part of the tshuva focuses on these on the Meraglim, because in the Gemara there's a drosha which tells us that Devorim Shebe Kedusha need to have 10 people. It's quite a lengthy, drawn-out drosha, but the bottom line of the drosha is it goes back to the word Eidah, which is mentioned by the Meraglim, and there were 10, it's referring to the wicked Meraglim, there were 10 wicked Meraglim, and they're called an Eidah. So we see that an Eidah means 10, and elsewhere the word Eidah is used in connection with needing 10 people when we're Mekadosh Shem Shamayim. So all Dvarim Shebi Kedusha need 10 people, and it boils down to the word Eidah, which is mentioned in connection with the Meraglim. And Rav Moshe builds from that that since the Meraglim were Rishoyim, and we know that it's to the extent that they were Kuyfer Be'ika, they doubted HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Koyach, and whether he indeed had the ability to bring them into Eretz Yisrael, Chas V'Shalom, so they were a real Rishoyim, Kuyfer and Be'ika, and nevertheless, we learn from them, the source, that we need 10 people. That shows you that even people who are not Shomrei Torah can count towards the 10. Now, there are people who disagree. I'm not going into the entire Machloikas and giving a bottom line ruling. I'm just mentioning this as a point of learning. And one of the points Rav Moshe discusses is the fact that we see over here that there is a fast instituted for the death of the Meraglim, which might seem to indicate to us that in fact they did Tshuva and maybe at the end they became Tzadikim again. But Rav Moshe brings that the correct way to understand this is, as we've said now, that they did not become Tzadikim even at the end, and the fast is not because they were Tzadikim and they died, like most of the people listed here, but because they tried to do Tshuva and their Tshuva wasn't accepted, and it's a lesson for us that we see how serious Avera is. One final point about the Meraglim before we move on. The Mishmura questions the timing over here. The 17th of Elul, we know that the events surrounding the Meraglim and when they came back all took place at Tisha B'Av time. So we would have expected that that's when they died. But we know from Chazal that they had some sort of terrible punishment in which their tongues grew out and they reached their belly and so on and so forth. And the Mishmura explains that this punishment lasted for some time. They were ill and suffered with this suffering for a period of time until eventually they passed away, which was on the 17th of Elul. Now, coming back to the text of the Shulchan Aruch, Bachamishi B'Tishrei on the fifth day of Tishrei, Mesu Esrim Ishmi Yisrael V'Nechbash Rabbi Kiva. That is the day when Rabbi Kiva was captured by the Romans, and along with that event, 20 people were killed. B'Shiva Boy on the seventh of Tishrei, and some say the sixth, Nigzra Gezerah Labisenu Sheo Musu Bacherev Uborov Badever. There was a Gezerah made on our forefathers in the wilderness, the Jewish people in the Midbar, that they would die at the sword, with famine and with plague, Mipnei Maiseh HaEgel, because of the Avera which was done with the Egel. Here too, there's some difficulty understanding the timing, because the Egel took place, we know, shortly after Matan Torah, 40 days after Matan Torah, and then there was a period of time when Kadosh Baruch Hu was angry with Am Yisrael, and then there was another 40 days, which began 40 days before Yom Kippur, where Kadosh Baruch Hu already forgave Am Yisrael. The last 40 days were Barotzoi. So how can we be told over here that on the seventh day of Tishrei, which is shortly before Yom Kippur, Kadosh Baruch Hu made a Gezerah to give this punishment? So the Mefarshim explained that in fact this is really an expression of the Rachamim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because a punishment had to be given for the Egel, and rather than destroying Am Yisrael right away, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Gezerah was that the punishment would come in stages over the Doros, here and there, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and every punishment which comes to Am Yisrael actually also contains something of the sin of the Egel, and that's what's being referred to over here. It was actually part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Rachamim that he did that. But nevertheless, it is a Gezerah, and it's worthy of a fast. Moving on, B'Shivat Mar Cheshvan, the 7th of Mar Cheshvan, Ivru Enei Tzidkio, the eyes of Tzidkio were put out for Shachatu Bonav Le'enov, and his children were killed in front of him. Pe'esrim Rishmoyde B'Kislev, on the 28th of Kislev, Saraf Yehoyokim HaMegillah Shekotzav Baruch Mepi Yirmiyo. The king Yehoyokim burned the Megillah, which was written by Baruch, the Talmud of Yirmiyo, in which he first foresaw the destruction of Yerushalayim. And Yehoyakim didn't want to take any notice, so he burnt it. Take note that the 28th of Kislev is obviously Chanukah. And there are, in fact, also different gerusois, once again, as to what the exact date was. It's not even certain that it was on Chanukah, and because of that, Mishabura writes that it is not Kedai to fast on this day. Bishmona B'Teves, on the 8th of Teves, Nichtavah Tari Yevonis B'Meit Talmei HaMelech, the Torah was translated into Greek in the days of King Talmai, and there was darkness in the world for 3 days. So it's a fast day, a Tisha B'Av, on the ninth day, Lo Moida Izeh Hi Hatzara She'ira B'Av, there's something mysterious, there was a hardship, but we don't know exactly what it was. And the Mefarshim of the Shulchan Aruch identify it as being the death of Ezra HaSoifa. So we have 2 days of fast actually before the Asara B'Tavis, which we know of, the 8th and the 9th. B'Chamisha B'Shvat, Meisru HaZakenim Shoyim Yehoshua, the Zakenim who followed Yehoshua passed away. Some say it was the 8th of Shvat. Ushloishaboy, on the 23rd, Niskabtu Kol Yisrael al Shevet bin Yamin al Inyan Pelegesh Begiva, the civil war which broke out surrounding Pelegesh Begiva, broke out. Beshiva of Adar Meis Moshe Rabbeinu Alav HaShalem, on the 7th of Adar Moshe Rabbeinu died. And in a leap year, there's a question when exactly this fast should be observed, but the Mishnah Berurah's conclusion is that it should be in the first Adar. B'Tisha B'Av, and on the 9th of Adar, Nechleku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, that is the time when Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel were split into two camps and they disagreed with one another. And even though, obviously, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel's machlokes, it was a machlokes in Torah learning, and the machlokes was entirely L'Shem Shamayim, and so forth, but nevertheless, it did give the impression that Torah sort of split into two camps and two parties, which is not a good thing, and therefore it's a reason for a fast. See, if Gimel.
That was the first machlokas that was in the sky.
There were other machlokas before that, but this was the first machlokas that came into like a sort of two camps type of machlokas. There were yechidim, either they were resolved or there were yechidim who argued. But here it's a whole school of people who argued. Yesh mi shoime. There are some who say she gozru sheyu misanim b'chol sheni v'chamishi, that one should fast every Monday and Thursday. Why? Al Churban HaBayis, for general tzoros which Am Yisrael suffer. The Churban HaBayis, v'al ha-Torah she-nisrafa, of the Torah which has been burnt, meaning the various times during Jewish history when Torah and v'al chilul Hashem, and on the general chilul Hashem which there is in the world. The la'asad lovay, in the future, yahavchem Hashem la'sosin la'simcha, Hashem will change these days to days of rejoicing and happiness. Amen. Now, the Mishnah Berurah says that even people who cannot fast, are not able to fast on every Monday and Thursday, al kulponim, A, one should daven for these days. On those days, one should focus on the Chil Hashem, which there is, on the Churban HaBayis, on the loss of Torah. And some people actually refrain.
Is that included in Rebbe Rachel? That you say on Mondays and Thursdays?
Well, definitely.
You'd put it in there?
Yeah, I mean, definitely sort of the Chil Hashem and the Churban HaBayis are very much spoken about over there. I find it hard to think whether we can find a reference to Sreifas HaTorah, but maybe next time we're saying the V'hu Rachum, we'll keep our eyes open and maybe we'll see something. Mishnah Berurah also mentions that some people refrain from having meat and wine on Mondays and Thursdays, since they're not able to fast, but at least a little bit of refraining from Gashmir Sticker enjoyment. And even some people keep this on the night before. It's already on a Sunday night and on a Wednesday night. But nevertheless, people who love Maariv early, he says, don't have to refrain from meat at that time. It's only on the actual day itself. Mishnah Berurah also explains a little further about this idea of the Torah being burnt. He says we shouldn't just think that it's simply a physical thing. Actually, when the Torah is burnt, there's also a spiritual idea in Shamayim that the Torah is being given over to certain koiches hatumah, and it becomes harder for us to actually learn and access the Torah. So not just the physical loss of certain holy books and the holy writings. One other thing the Mishnah Berurah adds, which is that some places have a minhag to fast on the Friday of Erev Parshas Chukas, because that is the day on which many, many Sforim and copies of the Gemara were burnt in France in the Middle Ages, I think somewhere in the 1200s. It was an Erev Parshas Chukas, and therefore there's a minhag to fast on that day. And even though all the other fasts that we've seen were all fixed on it by a calendar date, not by Parsha, this is fixed by Parsha because the Chachomim of that time asked a She'elas Chaloim, why is this happening? And they got an answer which contained the Targum of the words Zois Chukas HaTorah, which they would say Do Gezeiros HaRaisa. This is the Gezeira on the Torah. We can't understand it, we can't fathom its depths. But because the answer is contained in the opening words of Parshas Chukas, the fast was fixed to be, at that time, Friday Erev Parshas Chukas. One final point about all this, these fasts, even those who do fast, are only directed at people boys over the age of 18, girls over the age of 15, as we said in yesterday's shir, that time people are considered to have reached their full strength and the fast is not considered undue hardship. Whereas before that, people should not be fasting. Okay, we've arrived at the end of Hilchos Ta'anias, we'll stop here.